The scripture is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through God's Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of God, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the word of God for which we say,
thanks be to God.
Past couple of weeks, Pastor Eardley has been talking about grace. He's talking about prevenient grace, the grace that is waiting for us. It's there. All we have to do is engage it. He talks about saving grace, the salvation of our eternal soul and the wholeness that we get now in this lifetime. Today we're going to talk about practical grace. Practical. What's more practical than the career that you choose? What did you want to be when you grew up? When I see these kids here, I think about how will God shape them? Did you want to be a teacher or a nurse, a musician, an engineer, a tradesman, a mechanic, an artist, a social worker, a pilot, a groundskeeper, an entrepreneur, an athlete? All of those things seem possible for us when we're children. After a while, we turn our attention from what we want to be to who we want to be. It's a different question and has some different answers. Maybe we want to be a parent. We want to be healthy, a leader, someone who makes a difference. Maybe we want to be rich or popular. Those are goals that we can seek after. As a kid, I didn't have really any role models to follow early in life, so I latched on to fantasy. Superman, he was my guy. When I was 5 years old, I would run through the house with a towel around my neck, thinking I was Superman. I went in the backyard, climbed up on top of the garage to prove it. I thought, you know, if faith had anything to do with it, I would have flown. I would have been up there with the birds. But as I jumped, I went, bam, right on the bottom. I started crying. My mom came out, and she said, are you hurt? She's probably thinking I'm not real bright, but she said, are you hurt? And I said, no. And she said, then why are you crying? I said, because I didn't fly. I fully expected to do that. And then as I got older, I started to follow sports, and athletes like Frank Robinson became my role model through his integrity, his performance, his leadership, and all the great things that made him so special. But I kept searching for a role model till I came to the age of 14, and I'll come back to that in just a minute. One of the things that we are asked to do and get to do as clergy is funerals. When a loved one passes, we are asked to come and comfort the bereaved family and very often to officiate the funeral or memorial service. And that's a privilege. It's an honor to do that. Sometimes I don't even know the person that I'm being asked to officiate for, and so what I do with all of these circumstances is I ask the family to come together all at once and just tell me about their loved one that they have just lost. They start out telling about where he or she went to school, what job they had, who they knew maybe, who ran in their circles. Then after a while, the mood changes a little bit and they start to smile and say, this is who this person was. And they talk about humor. They talk about practical jokes that they played, experiences that they had. And for the really special families, they talk about who this recently departed loved one, who this person helped us become. Maybe the greatest legacy we can have as people. I'm talking about character when we're talking about who we are. Character, not a word that is real popular these days, it seems. Character is shaped. It's like that clay that I was using, that pink stuff. Some say that character is not made, it's revealed. Well, certainly when the pressure's on, character is revealed, whatever that might be. But in our walk with God, we are shaped, and shaped continuously in the image of Jesus Christ. I was thinking of the prophet Jeremiah when I was talking about the pots and the potters, or the clay. Jeremiah was a prophet in the Old Testament. Look at chapter 18 of a book that has his name. And as was customary with Jeremiah, he had a nudge from God. And God said, go down to the potter's house. And Jeremiah, who knew how to hear that prompting, went down to the potter's house. And he stood there and watched, a pretty common sight in those days. The potter spun the wheel, got some clay, put it in a ball, then threw it onto the spinning wheel and started to shape it into something. Some of you maybe have had that experience. And as he's watching it, God said, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, well, I see a potter making something out of clay. And then he watched the potter take it and for some reason wad it all up again. Apparently, it was a little out of kilter. It wasn't quite to the specs the potter wanted. And so rather than trying to make something out of a bad form, started over and threw it down again. And God said to Jeremiah, don't I have the right to do that with you and with the people of Israel? Because I am the potter and you are the clay. That's a good thing for us. I find that comforting. Shaped and reshaped. And why? Why do we even do that? Because we want to be filled. Those vases that those kids carried out, they're meant to be filled with something. So what are we filled with? I want to lay a little Latin on you. I didn't take Latin. Thankfully, I hear it's kind of painful. Any of you Latin scholars, good. The word that I'm going to use is actually a phrase. It's imago Dei. Imago Dei means image, imago of God, Dei, D-E-I. Now, God doesn't have an image per se. God doesn't have a physical form. God is not a man. God is not a woman. God is not a human being. God is spirit, John 4:24. And so right back at creation, God the Spirit made light in darkness. He separated the two. Then he made all the other stuff and said, I'm going to finish it off by making a man. And up to that point, God had said it was all good. And so the legend is that God made a man and said to himself, I can do better. And he made a woman. And then God said, and it was good. Men, we are the first draft, and that's okay. Imago is also used to describe insects. It's a scientific use. That's when the butterfly is coming out of the chrysalis after being there all winter, was a creepy crawly caterpillar, weave this chrysalis around itself and then force its way out. That is called imago, meaning the moment of the highest maturity of that insect. When that insect becomes all that it was meant to be, that is imago. It's a beautiful image, isn't it? Imago is the maturity stage. And so character, back to that, God created us. God created light, And he thought the two should go together. And so we are shaped to be bearers of light, to carry light, to be the torchbearers. And that's what goes in our vessels that God has made us in to be. A character of light. That's our goal as Christians, as disciples, followers of Christ. It's called spiritual formation. We're forming and aligning to Jesus Christ himself. Now, back to when I was 14, I said I didn't have a role model that I could rely on or knew personally until I was 14, and I went into a little country church, and the people started loving me, and I met Jesus. I met Jesus in their love. I met Jesus in their not rejecting me for being a total mess. I was kind of a hippie at the time, and they loved me anyway. And through them, I met Jesus. And since that time, I have intentionally tried to shape my character according to the character that Jesus had. Folks, I got a long way to go. And that's why I need grace. But I've made progress and intend to keep doing that. People of light are imago Christi. We're the image of Christ. And so if Jesus is equal to God, and we are equal to Jesus in the sense that we're forming, then we are like God. It's a Euclidean theorem or something like that. It's true. The more we become like Jesus, the more God-like we become. Imago Christi, Imago Dei, bearers of the light of God's love. So how do you do it? How does this happen? First of all, realize it takes a lifetime. It's not a quick fix. There are no shortcuts to forming your character. Christ will work with you at every stage, no matter how fast or slow you're going, and you might go backwards sometimes. But that's grace to pull you back forward. So it's going to take time. Stay with it. Focus. You have to focus on what you want. Very often, we have to say no to something in order to say yes to it. If we say yes to everything, we're not going to get around to what really matters. We have to set our priorities and our boundaries by saying no to things that would bring us down, and yes to the things that would fill us up with God's Spirit and all the good blessings that God has for us. So focus. Two, you got to work at it. Effort. Now, it seems funny when we're talking about grace. I'm not saying earn your salvation. That's not it. I'm saying work at your salvation. Bring it to completion, to maturity, to imago, like the butterfly becoming all that a butterfly can be. And three, experience God's love. You experience it right here today, this morning, in the smiles and greetings of each other, in the wonderful music that we've had, in the singing and the prayers, community, service, giving. All of those things bring us together for shalom, what makes not only for lack of bad stuff, but all the good things that can go into our lives. So it's going to take time, takes a decision, focus, choices. It takes effort. You have to work at it and keep working at it. And three, you have to experience God's love. It's a lifetime adventure, and I'm so glad that we are on this journey and on it together here at St. Paul's. You are really precious to me as a church family, and I appreciate how you have adopted me into your family. Let's broaden that. Let's adopt others into the family of Christ so that we may be shaped to bear the light of God's love. Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you that your Spirit has been among us as we have worshiped, as we have heard your word and heard it proclaimed. We pray that the lessons of Scripture would take root in our hearts, that we would be grounded in Jesus Christ, be conformed to his image in all we say, think, and do. Help us, God, because it's a struggle sometimes. We do feel like we go backwards sometimes. Yet, you're there for us and you hold us in the palm of your hand. May your blessings rest upon us now and always. Amen.